Mom has a special place in the life of a little boy. She's his very first teacher. The things that he learns in life to prepare him to deal with the things he's going to have to deal with in life generally come from mom.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob and Rosemary Barnes this week from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and it's good to have both of you here with grown kids who are my friends, and they're absolutely wonderful. But yesterday we talked about the sacrifice that moms have to make for kids, boys and girls, but then how when boys grow up, they do tend to attach a little more to dad. Hopefully he's around, but there are stages for everything, and mom is somehow involved in every stage.
Yes, there is no doubt the bonding that takes place with a daughter, and I think that bonding, and we'll talk about this another time, mothers and daughters, there is the season of strain in the mother-daughter relationship as the daughter is becoming a woman and looking for emancipation. But then once you get past that strain, there's the friendship for life of the mother-daughter. Rosemary drives up to Lakeland every other week almost to be with her mom. Our daughter's just down the street calling constantly. It's different with a little boy, however. And as a mom has her little boy and invests in her little boy, his whole job is, and her whole job is to emancipate him away from her, which is very, very difficult. And if she doesn't know it, it's very, 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 very painful.
And one thing I want to say there, I think as we talked yesterday about the sacrifice, and you just mentioned that, I think one thing that as moms, we have to be so careful of, because by nature, I want to say, you haven't called me in 3 weeks, or we want to be this whiny mother. It's just sort of ingrained that you just want to complain about
it. Wow, even and, you? Or is this just in general?
Oh, no. This is
it. Okay. I wondered if you were generalizing. Or...
No, I'm speaking from experience, but there's that temptation to be this whining, clinging mom. And I think that's one of the sacrifices, is to be able to take those things and say, this is not healthy for him. It's not healthy for me. It's not healthy for us in our relationship. So being very careful to let that natural biblical emancipation take place without being a difficult mom.
Because you're tempted to think, I took care of you. Now you're grown up. You can take care of me.
But right.
That's not, right. I mean, it happens, and it should have, the honoring should happen.
The honoring should
but it could get really weird.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Well, we'll talk about that, I think, on Thursday. But what gets weird is the specificness of God when he said a man is to leave his father and mother. There does need to be the leaving time. And again, we'll talk about this another time. But that wife of his is to become his new priority. And there's so much tension in that. And especially from, and we'd like to use this word here, you and I, Ruthie, in various ethnic groups, there's a lot of tension.
Oh, yes.
But I think there's tension everywhere. I do. I think we like to dump this on the Latins because their families are so unbelievably, awesomely tight. And with that comes the squeezing of the tightness.
Right.
But I think it's in all. And what,
well, what about those professional athletes at football games that they get the in front of the camera and they say, hi, Mom, or
so
thank you, Mom.
Would you like would you like your son to do that from the pulpit on a Sunday morning?
I would. I think that would be great.
This
don't
is a
you
shout out to my mom.
Good record?
Yeah.
Romy's out there. Hope you're listening.
Wow. Well, I think moms always have to choose to do what's right rather than what's easy.
Wow.
And what's easy would be dolt over him. What's easy would be try to make him my son for life. The problem is he may just be your son for life. And because of that, not emancipating, never become a man and need to live at home for life or whatever it is. We have to do what's right. And what's right is sending them out. It's sending them out and sending them out as your legacy to do what God has woven them together to do. And so mom's job is big, big investment, whether mom works in the home or out of the home. Every mom's a working mom. And whether mom works in the home or out of the home, she's really the child's, this little boy's first teacher and has the responsibility as his first teacher to just bring it on, teaching him the lessons that no one else is going to teach. There are a lot of lessons no one else is going to teach. You know, it just so happens that you've got a master's degree in education, so you taught our kids a lot of the academics. Our kids are voracious readers. Because you really, well, you taught me how to read. And when I was an undergraduate, you got me books that I'd never really done much reading. And you taught our children to read. But there's so much more than a mom teaches in this incredible investment. And moms get the magazines on parenting and you know, listen to Dobson on parenting and do all these things on parenting just to get to be everything, all in. And when you hear, when you give a bio of a man, he goes through all these things that he's done. And you give a bio when she's speaking of a mom. I don't care if she's the world's top PhD in endocrinology, whatever that is, I don't even know. But she's the mother of two. And that's in there every time. Yeah. It's not always in a man's bio. And so you're his first teacher, and that's a huge investment.
Yeah. And it begins with the start of discipline, of teaching that no means no. And you know, some of those things, just the basic truths of life that a child needs to have to be successful in life. And I think that is, for the most part, in the very beginning, mom, and teaching that you're loved and that you're going to be cared for and that your diaper is going to be changed. And when you're hungry, you're going to be fed. And just even those basic lessons are at the hand of mom. And so she begins from the first breath a child takes to when she hands them off.
Don't you think also part of this is that no one is prepared for how hard this is? And we watch movies and we dream of having those beautiful little things and they smell like lotion. And and then you have this baby and it doesn't smell like lotion and the house no longer smells normal. And all these things, and it's very, very difficult. And there's got to be this subliminal thing going on, all this investment of doing the difficult thing, doing the difficult thing. And you are a beautiful intellectual nurturer. And so making, for you personally, making no mean no was not a fun thing for you. It came natural to me. You had to teach me to be the nurturer. You had to teach me when we had to put Tori to bed early because of whatever she did. You're the one that had to teach me to go sit on the side of the bed and restore the relationship. It came natural to you. You know what you need to do, Bob? You need to go sit on the side of her bed. So I think all the investment of the difficult things, of the making no mean no, makes it so difficult that all that I've done here, and I'm watching this little boy emancipate from me anyway. Did I do anything wrong? Did I push him away? Was I too harsh? And no, in reality, you did it perfectly. And for a mom to see, when the mom does it perfectly, that means the child can leave. I watched you, Roby's senior year of high school. You cried constantly, Roby's senior year of high school. And when he was speaking, he went to a Christian high school, and he did a lot of the chapels on Tuesdays. And you go sit up in the balcony of that church and watch him do chapels, crying up in the balcony and watching. And the reason you were crying, I mean, you cry during my sermons because they're horrible, but you were crying during his because of the pain of realizing, I'll never get to see this again. I'll never get to see this again. He's leaving. He's leaving. He's leaving. And he did leave us for 7 years for undergraduate and graduate school. And watching that and realizing I'm doing the right thing by saying goodbye. How can this be right? There's something wrong here. It's just challenging, isn't it?
Yes. And I think that speaking of that, when you are preparing for that emancipation, it is a healthy thing to be able to, and I think women just sort of innately do that, of each event that you know is going to be, this is the last Christmas that our family is going to be like this and all that. It's a very a healthy, good thing to process it. I think about when we left him in college the first time, and because I had had that privilege of thinking it through and each stage saying goodbye, I think both of us were devastated, but I think it was in a way easier for me because of the fact that, you know, I'd had that process of saying,
you're not going to tell them how I fell apart so badly that I only made it 15 miles and had to pull into a hotel. Yeah, there was no doubt I was in denial over this, over the pain here, and didn't want to think about. And no one loved parenting as much as I did. No one loved high school for their kids. While my kids were in high school, it's the most laughing I've ever done. It was absolutely hilarious. Even when they did weird things that they shouldn't do and be doing, it made me laugh. That here's the consequence. Can't believe you tried that. That's absolutely awesome. Here's the consequence. And it just was never personal to me. It was hilarious. But I think you did do that well. I think a mom has to just bite the bullet and say, as much as I love you, you will learn to eat vegetables and you will not get up from that table till you eat those vegetables. And as much as I love you, you will take a nap. And I know you hate taking a nap, but you will take a nap. And as much as I love you, you will learn to share. All those things that are the beginnings of life means you have to do things you don't like to do. And I think what happens is you spend your whole day doing that. Or for the mom who picks their child up, you know, at some point in time at the end of the day, and then she has to start and kind of compress it into 2 or 3 hours. But then dad comes flying in and mom has made all these difficult investments and there's dad. And it's just very difficult with this son because he's waiting for dad to come walking in. And dads aren't careful. dads will rescue him from mom. And that's an enormous mistake right there.
Is there a difference when the son's personality is a little bit more like mom's than like dad's? And there's more of a gravitational pull towards dad or mom because of a personality difference?
Well, I think, you know, I could be wrong, and it'd be fun for you to weigh in. And you ask that question like we actually have an answer. We just have an opinion on that question. I think Roby's personality is a lot like yours. You know, I mean, both of you are intellectuals, and both of you process information very deeply. And both of you have I mean, what makes Roby a phenomenal leader is he's got a heart. You can help people learn to be a leader, but if they don't have a heart, then they won't be a servant leader. That they can fake it, but they won't be it. I think a boy's just naturally drawn to his dad. There's that masculine identity and desperately wanting to please his dad. And if he can't please his dad, then he may shy pull back from his dad if he can never hear, "I'm proud of you, son." But again, I think that was part of mom. I think an amazing part of the mom is to help the dad read the son, because she knows the son so much better.
And kind of lift up the dad. You encourage that relationship with the father without the jealousy.
Well, and even talk to the father and say, you know what Roby really needs? I know you get, I remember this conversation. I'd get home at night at 6 o'clock and I'm shot. I'm done. I left the house at 6 in the morning. And all he'd want to do, he would be standing there waiting with the basketball or waiting with the baseball glove or waiting with the soccer ball.
Oh my God.
And I would, and she'd say to me on the phone, on the mobile, you know, he's standing waiting. And I'd start to say, "Rosemary," and she'd say, "20 minutes. And it got to be such a routine for us that it was therapy for me. But if she hadn't really done what in her heart, good, I'll keep him all to myself. Roby, come in here, we'll make a cake or something, whatever that is. The process of her doing the right thing, of placing her in and helping me be a better dad and do those things, and freely knowing this is not the easy thing, but the right thing to do. I think that was very important.
And just in answer to your question, Ruthie, about the personalities, if one gravitates to a personality that's closer to theirs. And that was our case, that Roby and I are probably much more similar in a lot of ways, although there's lots of similarities with Bob. But I remember, particularly in college, when he was really emotionally processing some very heavy decisions in his life, he would process them with me, but he really went after Dad for leadership decisions. And it was interesting to see how even the emotional pull changed by what his needs were at a particular age. But I think I want to go back to you saying doing the right thing. I think that's what is so critical about mom, as we're talking about being his first teacher, that yes, there are going to be a lot of painful things that we have to do, but we've got to be willing to do them for the sake of our son and to think through, okay, what are the things that my son needs from early days when they need to eat their vegetables all the way on to a strong identification with dad or a strong identification with a male, a good godly male, a granddad or whatever it is. But I just think that it's important that we decide early on, from the moment that baby is born, that I will choose to do what is right and to think through carefully what the needs are in a boy child's life.
Which are really what I hear you saying, which is awesome. Not my needs, his needs.
That's right.
My needs might be, I want him to like me. My needs, I want to be his mommy. I want to be his best friend. And he doesn't like eating that, so I'll make him his own special meal, whatever it is. I'm preparing a nightmare for his wife in the future.
Yes.
But there may be this subliminal thought, good. I want to prepare a nightmare for his wife in the future.
So he comes back to me.
Yes, exactly. Not my needs. His needs, and doing all the things, because our children are on loan. We don't own our children. There is no doubt the role of the mom is a very, very challenging role, most especially mothers of sons, because the more they do the right thing, the more the son begins to emancipate from her and the more she begins to let go, as painful as that is. But the mother of a son wants to raise a son who will go out and be a leader. That means slowly the kite string gets let go, and then the string gets cut.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob and Rosemary Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, there's a lot of parenting, even marriage resources there. You can purchase them online, and all the proceeds go to benefit the ministry. That's at shfm.org. And if you want to hear this program again, share it with some friends, or sign up to get the program every day through your email. That's online at parentingtoday.org. We hope you'll join us tomorrow for more on this topic of mothers and sons here on Parenting Today.